na prabhu kutangela acharya tako prabhu kota gela charya tako kahamora swaru sanata kaha mora swarupa kaha sanata kandasa ragunata patita pava
kandasa ragunata patita pava
kandasa ragunata patita pava kahamora bhakta kavira kahamora bhakta yuga kahakavira kale kota gela goranatara kale kota gela goranatara pashane kuti mata anale pashimo pashane kuti mata anale pashimo Thank you. 고랑가 고네라니데 꽃단계네 아마 고랑가구네라니데 꽃단겔레 파모 세사마 상기라 상게 콜로 빌라 세사마 산게라 산게 예 콜로 빌라 산데 내로다마다
세상가나파야 간데 나로다마다
세상가나파야 간데 내로다마다 제아니로 베마다나 가누나 프라초
제아니로 베마다나 가누나 프라초
헤나 프라무 코타기라 아차리아 탕코
이나 브라보 코타 이나 아차리아 탕코
야 바이스나 탕코 바이스나 탕코 바이스나 탕코 자야 바이스나 탕코 Jaya Vaishnavako 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 Jaya Vaishnavako
Jaya Vaishnavako 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 Jaya Vaishnavako
You still need to make an announcement? You did that. Okay. I'll read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Sarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatana? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all good qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes. Narottam Das simply weeps. We commonly sing this song on the disappearance day of our great acharyas. The mood is very strong, powerful, where a great Vaishnava himself, Narottam Das Thakur, is feeling separation from the departed acharyas. So by this prayer and other similar prayers, one can directly associate with, commune with great personalities who gave spiritual teachings and have enormous compassion and can give the same today, even their departed. So we'll chant together this verse that's on the board. And it's taken, well, there's two places. It's taken from Dhanakeli Chintamani, and it's by Raghunath Das Goswami, and it's also found in Mukta Charita by Raghunath Das Goswami. He likes this verse so much, it appears apparently in both writings. Adadanastranam dantayar idam yache punapunaha shrimad rupa padam bhoja rajoham syam bhave bhave Trivira. I'll read the translation. You'll see it projected here. Holding a straw between my teeth, I beg again and again that birth after birth I may become the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. Of course, this is a little different translation than receive the dust. He's praying to become, at least this translation, to become the dust. It's even more humble. But Raghunath Das, he directly associated with Rupa Goswami, and he is our Prayojana Guru. What that means is he's the acharya, the teacher by example, in how to achieve the topmost stage of the fruit of love of God. He who is in such an exalted position, disclosing through his writings the inner life of one who's in a state of love of God, he considers himself fit to be a particle of dust, or receive a particle of dust from the feet of Rupa Goswami, placing himself in that very humble position before Rupa Goswami. I'll show you a few others. By the way, this verse when you visit Vrindavan, may you visit Vrindavan. And when you visit Vrindavan, one of the places that you'll want to go to is Nandagram, the birthplace of, and the, not the birthplace, the place where Krishna lived during his childhood pastimes, the palace of Nanda Maharaj. And very near to Nandagram is a very favorite place for many Vaishnavas, a place called Tir Kadamba. A grove of Kadamba trees is where the place is. And it's in between where Krishna lived and where Srimati Radharani lived in her so-called marriage to her so-called husband, Abhimanyu. We say so-called because of many reasons, but so-called husband Abhimanyu. And this was a meeting place for Radha and Krishna. Like, secret. But yeah, although everybody knew. And it was also a place where Krishna and Balaram, at the end of the day of all their pastimes with the cowherd boys, they would gather the cows at Tir Kadamba. Krishna would climb on top of this one Kadamba tree. And our Gaudiya Vaishnava literature describes that Krishna would call out the names of the cows. He would call them by groups. It's a long, long, beautiful description. Based upon their colors and then subgroups within their colors, and he would call the names of the groups and they would reply, and wag their tail and come into the Goshal of Nanda Maharaj. And it's in this place also that Rupa Goswami resided as one of his places of bhajan, where it is said that he wrote a large part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Nectar of Devotion, in our present text. And in the midst of that grove, there's a little mandir. And within the mandir, there's very beautiful, little, beautiful deities of Krishna Balaram, because it was a place of their pastime. And just above the altar of Krishna Balaram is this verse, Adadanas Janadantayar Idam Yache Punak Punak. And spend time at Tir Kadamba. Spend time remembering Rupa Goswami, praying to Rupa Goswami, feeling the spiritually surcharged presence of this wonderful place, Tir Kadamba, and hear from saintly persons like Dinabandhu and others what are the pastimes that Krishna performed in this vicinity. And those of you that know Dinabandhu, you feel happy inside just by thinking of Dinabandhu, because he's so he's such a rascula. And whenever he speaks, listen carefully, and he'll first speak this verse. He says a number of verses, prayers, but this is one of them. In the mood of Raghunath Das Goswami, appreciating Rupa Goswami, to enter into the mood of Vrindavan, and which he already is immersed in, and receive the mercy of Raghunath Das and Rupa Goswami, both Rupa Raghunath. Here's some other prayers. Now, this just gives the translation, but Dravida probably knows the Sanskrit. Here's one from Bhakti Ratnakar about Rupa Goswami. Within Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were the reservoirs of natural love and mercy. They were foremost amongst the devotees, oceans of kindness, and friends of the poor. They possessed unflinching devotion to Radha and Krishna. giving up all worldly pleasures, they always sang the glories of Vrindavan's groves and the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, these two brothers are the gifts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ocean of mercy. In their absence, I have become an orphan. Written by the author of Bhakti Ratnakar. Then another. These are prayers to Rupa and Sanatan. All glories to Sri Sanatan and Sri Rupa Goswamis, who are fathomless wellsprings of Prema Bhakti Rasa. They personify Ujjvala Rasa. For those of you who don't know these terms, love as the mood of the gopis had for Krishna. Very intimate, sweet, Ujjvala, love for Krishna. They are desire trees whose mercy frees everyone from pain and sorrow. The books of these two great souls clearly explain prema bhakti. Hearing about them will bring great joy, for they are ashraya vigrahas of madhurya rasa. They're the emblems, they're the symbol, they're the shelter of the highest stages of conjugal love for Krishna. O Rupa and Sanatan, you are endowed with the wealth of divine love, Radha Krishna Prema, which in your hands is like thousands of Cupid's golden arrows. O Rupa and Sanatan, please bestow some of that treasure upon me by piercing my heart with those jeweled arrows. It's a prayer. Lively sound system. Self-animated. Hare Krishna. And a few more. I'll go through this a bit, but then we'll, some of the application part. It's not, the message here is, overall, one can directly receive the mercy and the association of exalted personalities, previous departed acharyas, if the same elements of prayer are there in one's heart, eagerness and humility, themes that we've been speaking about. Here's again from Bhakti Ratnakar. If Rupa Goswami did not appear in Kali Yuga, who would distribute love of Krishna throughout the world? Who would renounce all pleasures, worship Vrindavan, and discuss the books of the bhakti path? Who would have understood the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan? And who could experience the love of Sri Radha and Krishna without the mercy of Sri Rupa? So as you see, these prayers that most exalted personalities themselves are looking up to Rupa Goswami as exalted amongst the exalted. And prayers of glorification, prayers of petition for mercy, prayers for association, these are very naturally found. Especially amongst the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find Rupa and Raghunath described in this way. There's another song by Narottam Das Thakur. Goranga Balite Hade. Our young devotees know these songs like they probably sing them in their sleep. And here's the Sanskrit word, but I highlighted Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoibi Akuti Kabi Hama Bhujava Se Yubala Kuti. Here's the translation. When will that day come when simply by uttering Lord Chaitanya's name there will be shivering on my body. Then as I chant Hari Hari or Hare Krishna, there will be pouring of tears from my eyes. When will that day come when Lord Nityananda will be merciful upon me so that my desire for material enjoyment will become insignificant? When will my mind be freed from the contamination of material enjoyment and I shall be purified? Then it will be possible for me to understand Vrindavan. When shall I be eager to study the teachings of the Goswamis from Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami? Then I may be able to understand the pastimes or loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Let my only desire be to attain the lotus feet of the Goswamis from Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. Narottam Das Thakur always offers his prayer in this way. So Rupa Raghunatha Pade, praying to the feet or praying at the feet of Rupa and Raghunath, Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. The message this morning is, this is a standard Gaudiya Vaishnava practice of calling for the mercy of previous acharyas. And I want to give some examples of in the lives of great devotees, previous acharyas directly, visually appeared before them and gave their blessings. Some of you may know about Prabhupada's. He didn't make a disclosure was given by Prabhupada in a private discussion. At least that's the version that I heard. One time when Prabhupada was at the Radha Damodar temple showing the devotees the place where he stayed before he came to America at the Radha Damodar temple, the two little rooms there, he disclosed that Rupa Goswami appeared before him and blessed him, encouraged him, because Prabhupada was feeling mission impossible. How will I accomplish the task that my spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta has given me? How can I go to the Western countries and give this sublime teaching to people that it's just so far away, foreign, distant in their lives? So Rupa Goswami appeared and blessed him, encouraged him, please go, you will be successful. Now I'm going to read a little passage from, some of you may be familiar with this, one of the concluding books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote was a collection of verses according to the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, but then many chapters under those three headings. And the jewel-like verses of Srimad Bhagavatam that teach or disclose the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam primarily, and Lord Chaitanya's, which is the basis of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. So at the end of the book, it's called Bhagavat Arkamarichimala, and I'm going to read a part of what he writes as at the end. After the book is all done, he writes a concluding statement. The way how I got the inspiration to compile this book is a divine mystery, which I felt not proper for my part to disclose, as it might be bridging spiritual conceit. But subsequently I realized that it would be an undoing to my spiritual master, which might stand as an obstacle on the path of my spiritual progress. Therefore, without any shame, I record the fact that while under the benediction of my guru, Sri Bipin Bihari Goswami, who belonged to the great heritage of Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta, a faithful follower of my Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here's the... I was deeply penetrating upon Srimad Bhagavatam one day in a vision, Sri Sarup Damodar, the right-hand personal adherent of Lord Chaitanya, instructed me to compile the slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam in accordance with the principles of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, as laid down by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that the book will be read with an easy understanding, with great interest and delight, by the loving devotees of the Lord. Sri Sarup Damodar Prabhu further guided me by giving me a wonderful explanation of the first sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, and also showed me how I have to explain the slokas under the light of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. So we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita about this personality, Sarup Damodar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also read about the personality, Sarup Damodar. But his Krishna consciousness and our Krishna consciousness aren't equal. And the mood of calling upon the great acharyas was also profound. And there's reciprocation. The reciprocation doesn't have to be, in our case, or in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's case, that they come. They present themselves in a vision and instruct us. Maybe someone here that will happen in their life. Probably not. But no doubt there's reciprocation. It's part of our, I'm repeating myself, it's part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition that our prayers go to the previous acharyas for the disclosure of their mercy, to give their mercy, and they're eager to give. Prabhupada sometimes spoke like this about the Parama Guru, just like the father is merciful, but the grandfather is more merciful to the grandchildren. So the previous acharya's mercy is more merciful than even our present acharya. Or like, you know, our Hare Krishna movement today. The Diksha Guru, Srila Prabhupada, of many disciples, is now departed. But certainly those of you who are not Prabhupada disciples can pray to Srila Prabhupada and receive his mercy. You can have a direct, loving relationship as Shiksha Guru. Not the other kind, not the Diksha Guru kind, but a Shiksha Guru, an instructing teacher. And the line of... not there are other examples in our spiritual line where departed personalities presented themselves before contemporary personalities and directly gave their mercy. And in other lines of disciplic succession. Well, one is Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya. Who's Madhvacharya? Prahlad, who's Madhvacharya? Yeah. Very good. Very good. We're in the Brahma Sampradaya, but Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. In the line of Madhvacharya, in line of Lord Brahma, we read in the disciplic succession that list. There's Lord Brahma received teachings directly from Krishna or Lord Vishnu. And then Brahma gave that knowledge to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni gave that knowledge to Vyasadeva. And then centuries pass, and we find the next in the line of disciplic succession is Madhvacharya. Centuries. Century means hundreds of years. Hundreds of years passed. And then there's Madhvacharya. So how did that happen? It didn't happen in a vision. He went to where Vyasadeva is. According to the detailed, super detailed biographies in the line of Madhvacharya, when Madhvacharya as a young Vaishnava was preparing his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he spent years preparing his commentary on Bhagavad Gita. But he wanted to get verification that he had the right essence of understanding. So he made a decision that he would go find Vyasadeva, who was existing many hundreds of years previous. More than hundreds of years, thousands of years. Because Vyasadeva is in this special category called Chiran Jiva, a living entity that lives for a long, 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 long time. Long, long, long time. And he's residing in Badrinath. So if any one of us go to Badrinath and check out where's Vyasadeva's ashram, he won't find it. Because according to these biographies of Madhvacharya, there are levels of Badrinath, and he's in what the biography describes as the upper Badri, fifth level. So he was traveling with one of his dear associates. Many associates, they made a whole pilgrimage going north to Badrinath. And he had the followers stay, and he was going to go look. And there was one chief associate who wanted to be with him. And as he looked, and Madhvacharya said, "You stay with the others." He wanted to continue going with him. But Madhvacharya, being an incarnation, or partial incarnation, or son of Vayu, he could leap huge distances. So he left the follower behind. They're going through the mountainous area of the Himalayas. And not only he could go fast, long distances, he had capacity to enter into other realms. Sariputta liked to speak about travel in multidimensional realms. Madhvacharya had that capacity, and then he entered into the realm where the upper Badri, where Vyasadeva's ashram is. And the description that's found is amazing. It's better than Hawaii. It's a celestial paradise. Although, you know, the mountains, they're generally very cold. This is upper Badri, and it was like tropical. It was beautiful scene. And his ashram is situated like that. And he came before Vyas, and there's a detailed description of his vision of Vyas. And he presented himself and paid his obeisances before Vyas. And he, in the course of time, gave the essence of his commentary, and Vyas confirmed, "Very good." So although thousands of years between one personality and another personality, at least in this case, Madhvacharya was able to directly associate with Vyasadeva and receive confirmation of his teachings. And then in his travel back again south, he was presenting the teaching very strongly, very clearly, and Digvijay, conquering many persons, bringing them to the position of devotional service by his association. There's a nice phrase I wanted to mention also in one verse in Prahlad's prayers to the personality of Godhead. Lord Nisringadev, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 12. tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya sarvatmana mahi grinami yata manisham nicho jaya guna visargam anupravishtaha pujeta yena hi puman anuvartinena anuvarnitena. Prabhupada describes this word anuvarnitena as same subject as we're speaking here. Anu means to follow, and like the teaching of Rupa Goswami, anushilana. Anu means to follow, and shila means behavior. So Vaishnavas, Rupa Goswami's teaching, is to follow the behavior or the conduct or the character, the quality, to cultivate the qualities of great personalities. How do you cultivate the qualities of great personalities? You associate with those great personalities. So someone may say, oh, where do I find great personalities? This is Kali Yuga. Too bad. I guess I have to stay and rot in Kali Yuga. But we can associate with those great personalities through prayer, through hearing their teachings. One of the descriptions that is found in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, just as he was describing in disclosure about reading Bhagavatam and Sarup Damodar personally came and instructed him what to do, how to compile this particular book, and explained the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam as a special favor. It's described that he would regularly read as he would come across new literatures, because there wasn't a printing press, wasn't the accessibility to these literatures. So he would find very, very, very old manuscripts. People would present them to him because they knew he was who he was. He was such a scholar and such a devotee. So gradually over time he would find such literatures, and he would enter deeply, just as we read how he described, I was pondering and entering deeply into the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there would be some disclosures. The detail of those disclosures aren't described, but then he would take that literature, which if any one of us were to read, like Dravida was describing, you know, the reading of the Upanishads or the other translations of Bhagavad Gita that many of us, I'm sure, have read. I read seven. And I came to two conclusions. One is I thought it was a book of poetry. It's not a book of poetry. That was brilliant. And another was, I don't understand it. I read seven of them, and it was the Bhagavad Gita is not difficult, but I didn't understand it. Didn't have the capacity to understand it. And then, just as Dravida was describing, when I read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, number 8, it was very understandable. And I was scratching my head saying, I wonder why this is so understandable and the other ones aren't understandable. And then as I kept going, I could understand why it was understandable. It was from realization. It was the real message of Bhagavad Gita. It wasn't Edgerton's or Juan Pizarro or the other guy's superimposed, you know, speculative ideas, and this is what Bhagavad Gita is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, similarly, how did he get the understanding of what these texts were without detailed commentary? He had an acumen that we don't have. He was receiving mercy from those personalities who presented those literatures, for sure. Because otherwise, it's not by ascending process that one can understand something. It's by descending. That's our process. Be sure that. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur presented in a very simple, understandable manner, like songs, or sometimes writings. That was so easy, so accessible. How does that become possible? By deep prayer, not by scholarship, but by deep devotion, pure devotion, and relying upon the descending mercy. So that's the message for this morning. Our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition has this richly embedded as part of the fabric of our lives, is sincerely praying for the mercy of previous acharyas. It's not jumping over. That's something that needs to be avoided. We don't jump over our spiritual master or his spiritual master. It's not one of those things. Certainly that's possible. One can jump over. But under instruction to do so, I was just listening to a recording where somebody was saying, Prabhupada, is it okay to read the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? They mentioned a specific book. I said, Prabhupada said, certainly, it's okay. He said, but, the devotee said, but I thought you said that we shouldn't. Prabhupada said, I never. And then he went again and said, well, you know, there were some publications by the Gaudiya Math that they did some editing on Bhaktisiddhanta's writings, and on that basis you said, don't take those books. And I remember that history. It was thunder. It was, don't get those books. There was, I didn't know what was going on. Some people knew what was going on. It was just like little brahmachari just saying yes to whatever Prabhupada said. But there were some persons that not just edited, but they purposefully, anyway, without going into it too deeply, they changed the teachings. Dravida knows the detail. They purposefully changed the teachings. I won't go into the detail. And when that came to Prabhupada's attention, you know, don't buy those books. So then he took the same literature, rather than with a changed, and then he had the BBT publish the same writings. Particularly it was Sri Brahma Samhita by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then in this discussion I was hearing Prabhupada say, how could I say, he's my Guru Maharaj, don't read his writings. Read his writings. And his Guru Maharaj or his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, read his writings. But the conclusion was, our principal entrance must be very clearly understand the presentation of our founder Acharya before you go into reading other literatures. Become very, very, very conversant in the writings of Srila Prabhupada, the Bhaktivedanta purports. What if you don't do that, you'll become confused. If you do that, you'll appreciate a number of things. How very simply Prabhupada made sometimes very complex teachings. He made something difficult very, made it into a smoothie. It just would go down and easily swallowable, easily digested, yummy. That was one of the things that Prabhupada did. And, you know, he acquainted us similarly with very high teachings of previous acharyas without spinning our minds out over so many things. And he gave us those things so that we're prepared for our life of pure devotion. Like you notice in the, for example, you notice in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, there are not so many scriptural references, rather Prabhupada would paraphrase the scriptural references in simple language so that we could understand what the message is. And as time went on, a little more, then a whole lot of scriptural references as the cantos proceed with the exact references, the Sanskrit, the translation, the explanation to help us understand deeply so Prabhupada could go either way. And Our great acharya, we may not have the capacity presently, we don't have the capacity presently to understand properly and deeply the writings of, I mean, read Sri Brahma Samhita and see what happens. You'll either go to sleep or your head will spin, one or the other, because the language is so high. And the concepts are wonderful, but the Bhaktisiddhanta's language is very special, etc. So to get the mercy of such persons is necessary to enter into the correct understanding of their teachings and Lord Chaitanya's teachings. So it's an essential part of prayer, as we're praying to Krishna, praying to Lord Chaitanya, praying to the deities that we may have in our home, praying to the Vaishnavas that we're immediately associating with. There's this awesome, wonderful disciplic succession, very, very merciful personalities that you can establish relationships with by hearing their teachings and singing their songs and praying to them for their mercy to disclose the message that they wished us to receive through those songs. The songs or the writings were just for their contemporaries. They were for generations. And through their mercy, then the understandings can come and fill our lives. Essential part of prayer in our Gaudiya tradition. So any points? Yes. Jai Jagannath.
My question in short is, how do we keep up the balance of devotion to our spiritual master and devotion to the predecessor acharyas? That's it. In short, I would like to explain it a little bit further. In my observation dealing with devotees around, when we're in the neophyte platform, our faith is weak. That's the description.
Yes.
And I find that the weakness of our faith is particularly manifest or easily perceivable in our faith in Vaishnavas, in particular our faith in the divinity of the Guru in our life. And so the tendency is, from discussions I've had with devotees in the last 1 year, is that because of a weakness of faith in the actual transcendental position of Guru, there's a tendency to have faith in the pure devotees who have already departed. And the relationship with one's own guru is more or less a formal thing, which is bringing us to the mercy of the actual pure devotees who can actually save us and who've departed. So I wanted to understand, how do we keep up the balance of devotion to, you know, the present gurus in our life and also the predecessor acharyas, avoiding the tendency to jump over because of insufficient purity of our guru like that?
My thoughts in response are probably not going to be very satisfying, so that's a prelude of my response. It's not part of my life, and it's not part of the life of the followers of Srila Prabhupada to have that, you know. It's a new deal. It's a new generational deal. And there's several reasons for that. The present personalities, put them all together on one side of a scale and put Prabhupada on the other side of the scale, and the scale tips Prabhupada, you know, because of his unique qualification. And therefore, he has the position of our founder Acharya, and prior to him, other Acharyas. Very, very, very special. So reality is, they're special. And reality is, we don't have the same, we're not as special as they are. That's reality. And then complicated with, you know, some falls from that exalted position of persons that were yet less qualified. And So that's one side. Then the other side is, regardless of that disparity, there's a teaching. The teaching says that one, just like, nice example, is this teaching of or the writing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's giving credit to Bipin Bihari Goswami, who didn't have the qualification of Jagannath Das Babaji, to put it nicely. But he was his Diksha Guru. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being the Vaishnava that he was, he respected Bipin Bihari Goswami. Not only here, there's a little passage in his biography, not the one that Rupa Vilas wrote, but in another biography, where it describes that after his initiation, some couple of years later, he went to see Bipin Bihari Goswami, and with his son, who at the time was something like 7 years old, Bhaktisiddhanta. And when he came before Bipin Bihari Goswami, he paid his obeisances, and Bipin Bihari Goswami put his feet on his head to offer his blessings. And then something happened. Bhaktivinoda left the room for something, and 7-year-old Bhaktisiddhanta let Bipin Bihari Goswami have it. You have no idea who this person is. He's a Nitya Siddha, pure devotee of the Lord. Do you think that you have the qualification to put your feet on his head? You should have him put his feet on your head. You're most unqualified. You're like, 7-year-old boy, let him have it. Like a whole long thing. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur came in the room, and the conversation changed. And then later Bipin Bihari Goswami said, "Your son, he's a little feisty and sometimes to the point of being offensive." But the point I'm making here is Bhaktivinoda Thakur certainly had the capacity to discriminate between one thing and another thing. So he knew that the principal shelter for him was his Shiksha Guru, but he offered his respect to Bipin Bihari Goswami. It wasn't cosmetic. It wasn't just formal. Now that's, he had actually, there wasn't so qualified. I mean, in other ways, he was like a little off. Not so qualified. A little off, without the details. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur unflinchingly is offering him respect. Because that's our system. Our system, the other system is the jumping over system. It's not a balance. It's, do you have the proper respect and regard? So, before one jumps into taking initiation, the teaching that Prabhupada gave us was, before initiation, one can examine. After initiation, examination is over. You certainly can evaluate, etc. It's not just you shut off your intelligence. But so if there's some deviation, you know what deviation is, and there's some proper procedure if there's such a thing happens, or some weakness comes, or something like that. But nonetheless, respect must be there. A very nice book, Krishna Bhajanamrita, by Narahari Sarkar, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, explains that there's an etiquette. Even there may be someone else who's a Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru is final. And if something is said between the two, you go to the Diksha Guru, and the Diksha Guru's word is the Supreme Court. Even there's a Shiksha Guru. So there's finer points of etiquette that I guess our newer generation devotees have to learn. But for us, it was very simple. We can offer our respect to others, But Prabhupada is our full shelter, unquestionably. And today, that must be understood. I get confirmation in whatever it is, from whatever it is. And there's others that may also have a very significant role in my life, present person's guiding and writings of acharyas, but there's this fidelity. Now, for everyone, besides the, we call it second generation devotees, Prabhupada is our founder acharya, and his position is unique. So the present, those who are performing the service of spiritual master, diksha or shiksha guru, spiritual masters, he's our shelter, and the teaching should be, he's your shelter. And at the end, you have access. It's not jumping over. You have access. But it, you know, besides, it's reality. Look at everything that we do. The worship, everything, the teachings, the practices, the standards, everything that we do, it's Prabhupada. Not just for his disciples, for everyone. It's a member of ISKCON. He's our shelter. He's our primary Shiksha Guru. To say he's the primary Shiksha Guru doesn't dump anybody else who is a Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru. He's the primary. And everything must be in fidelity with him. Now, anyway, there's more to say, I guess, but I'll just stop at that. You want to pursue it some more, or you're okay?
I'm also okay. It was just maybe one angle that I was inquisitive about. Everything we're doing in our life is obviously given to us by Srila Prabhupada, as like clear as anything. But sometimes it happens that because Srila Prabhupada spoke many things, and we have different spiritual masters who maybe understand the same teaching in a different way, or they imbibe a variety of moods based on...
Sure, that's natural. Fine. That's natural, diversity.
So my question comes that for a follower, when he has an understanding of what Srila Prabhupada is teaching, and the spiritual master shall give another understanding, then how does he reconcile that situation?
Another understanding. You know, it depends on what you mean by another understanding. Maybe you can give an example, a theoretical one.
Yeah, the the simple point is that I'm a disciple. I understand something in a particular way, and the spiritual master says it's not like this; it's like that. But I read it like this, and it's clear to me what it is, because I'm reading through the Prabhupada's books, and it's clear this is what it is. But the spiritual master says, it's not like that, it's like this. So sometimes I get confused when I hear this message about we can directly approach just by reading through the Prabhupada's books. If our spiritual master shall give another understanding, that is...
Well, then you ask for clarification. Because... spiritual master doesn't mean optional. Spiritual master means spiritual master. If he says it's a rope, it's a rope. If he says it's a snake, it's a snake. Even I may think it's the opposite. That's fidelity. But certainly, you ask question. You know, I'm not like Arjun did. You say this, and you know, there's this over here, and there's that over there. Could you clarify? Can you shed some light on this? Ask the question. Don't stay conflicted. And you can ask, in addition, other persons who, you know, you understand have due respect for your spiritual master and understand the mood of your spiritual master, and can you help me understand it? My reading is this, and my spiritual master said it's not this. How do I understand this? Is it this or is it that? And how do I handle this situation? And then those who you consult have a responsibility, because that's in Krishna Bhajanamrita, to not to say, oh, he was wrong. Somehow to help bring the light in such a way that the faith of the disciple is nurtured, not smashed. If somebody does that one, then you know I don't go to that person. At least with issues like this. Because that's not right. It's not the responsibility of... So that person may want to, you know, so many things. Can go to your spiritual master and say, hey, you said it's this, but it's that. And your disciple is confused. Maybe you can help me. And then, you know, so those things go on. But faithfulness is needed. Asking for clarification. Sometimes asking for clarification, you could find out all kinds of things. Like, oh, I thought you said it's that, not this, but your point was it is this. It's just here's a detail about this. Oh, okay, that's helpful. Or after they're hearing your explanation, well, let me consider and adjust the understanding through, you know, respectful exchange. But respect must always be. Never is that to be put to the side. Dravida, you want to comment on this question?
Okay. A lot of things are going through my mind because I'm always looking, well, because everything is very general. There must be some example in there somewhere which you obviously don't want to share, but that's okay. But I'm thinking of how, you know, from my point of view, because we're going to speak about this later for those of you who are interested in the responsible publishing or responsible editing thing about the books, because this is an issue. I mean, Prabhupada's books are kind of the foundation of our intelligence. Everything is based on that. Now, how does he instruct us? Primarily through the books. And yet, you know, famously the book, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, which is the foundation, which is our main book, was revised in 1983 by Jayavadaswami. And that caused an issue amongst our God brothers, God sisters at the time that developed. And ultimately, you know, devotees needed to have a resolution of that. Well, what is, you know... is there an issue here? Are we being led down a garden path in the wrong direction or so forth? And so ultimately, it goes back to the GBC. The GBC really, we have to understand that we're in a society that...
If you're going to give a class on what you're going to give a class on later, you can save it for later.
No, I know, but it pertains to his question. Because this is the critical thing is the passing on. I call it the flow of authority. You know, the flow of authority. And when Prabhupada disappeared, you know, most of you know the history. There was confusion about that, and it was resolved. I mean, in my mind and in most devotees' minds, it was resolved by really setting up this balance of, you know, Prabhupada is in the center. So much of what we do, you know, the Guru Puja, the books, the, as you say, the standards of worship, it's all Prabhupada. It's Prabhupada. Prabhupada is present in every inch of what we do, you know, every moment. Then what's the role of the present gurus and acharyas, both, you know, the Shiksha gurus and the Diksha gurus? Well, it's clear that their role is to present Prabhupada. In other words, to be transparent media, as Prabhupada would say, he would say via media, for Srila Prabhupada. And that is, you know, where the faith is nourished. When you see that this person is presenting Prabhupada as he is, and presenting that those teachings, and acting according to the way Prabhupada said we should act,
address his question.
Then you have an acharya.
Address his question.
Yes.
So he's reading Prabhupada's books, and he sees this, and his teacher guru says, it's not this, it's that. And he's in this dilemma. It's not the editing issue, it's, you know, the reading of what it says.
Well, that's why, you know, I need an example. I'm sorry. What are we talking about here?
He gave an example. I'm reading, and it's clear to me, super clear. It means this. And I'm having a discussion with my guru, and he says, it doesn't mean this. And you go, well, wait a minute. I've been over this 100 times, and it's this. Yeah. He's saying, no, it's not this. It's that. What do I do? Not editing.
Well, it depends. First of all, to me, it would be, what kind of question is that? Are we talking about, you know, the number of manus in, you know, something? Or are we talking about an essential thing of behavior and tattva and rasa and whatever? You know, that's if it's some technical thing, then I would just say, well, somehow I don't understand it, and I'll understand it. But if it's something essential, then we have a problem. That's what I would say.
Okay. Carrying on. Raise your hand so Supal sees your hand.
Hare Krishna. This is...
Off topic? Change of topic or same one?
It's same topic.
Okay. This is the problem when we give Jai Jagannath the phone for the microphone.
Sorry, Maharaj.
All the brahmacharis are going to have, you know, I want to say something about this. They discuss these things threadbare, regularly. Go ahead.
Okay. This is just, I guess, a clarification for myself based on what Dravida Prabhu was presenting. In the society, we have Srila Prabhupada in the center, and the spiritual master is establishing the relationship between the disciple and Srila Prabhupada. So, just one kind of understanding of that system, one conclusion one could come to, is that, okay, the spiritual master is giving me Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is giving me Krishna. So, I'm getting Krishna from Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's the one who has the direct absolute connection, but then my spiritual master may or may not be a direct absolute representative of Krishna. Anyway, he's just giving me Srila Prabhupada,
da,
and that's okay.
Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Sorry. Take the microphone from him so he doesn't. That's not the understanding. I'll share with you a different version of the role of the founder acharya and the role of those not only present but future generations. So, you know, let's get it right this time, because future generations need to follow the same method. And that is, they are delivering Krishna. Not what you just said. They're delivering Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's delivering Krishna. You keep going, and Prabhupada's delivering Bhaktisiddhanta, and Bhaktisiddhanta's delivering, you know, and ultimately Krishna. It's just like the deity worship. You know, you haven't begun deity worship yet. But the standard is you approach the spiritual master and request permission to worship, and then you do the worship, and then to the spiritual master, you know, like that down. So, Krishna is coming through the disciplic succession. Period. And the... using Prabhupada's term, the immediate link is that point of connection, just like, you know, all these cables going across the floor. They all have electricity, but you plug in to the end of the cable, the immediate link, and they're all delivering electricity. You know, touch it over there, touch it over there, it's all electricity. Krishna is being delivered by the disciplic succession. Now, the role of Srila Prabhupada is... anyone in ISKCON, anyone following him, their teachings must be in fidelity with Prabhupada's teachings. Not just the present generation in fidelity with Prabhupada's teachings, but in ISKCON, any future generation persons, their teachings must be in fidelity with Prabhupada's teachings. And their immediate guru. But emphasis may vary, because there's personality, because of time giving too many examples. emphasis and personality is going to be there. Variations in emphasis and personality is going to be there. But the teachings must be like in the Sri Sampradaya. There is Ramanujacharya, or in our Madhvacharya. You know, the Madhvacharya, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya must be in fidelity with the teachings of Madhvacharya. And the teachings of Prabhupada must be in fidelity with the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami and Madhvacharya. They have that unique position. But it's not that they're the deliverer of Krishna and anybody else is just delivering them. They're delivering Krishna. And their responsibility is to be in fidelity with the founder Acharya in ISKCON's case and the rest of the line of disciplic succession. Likewise, the teachings of Rupa Goswami must be the teachings of the founder Acharya and anyone today. Something else, please. We can have this discussion. You have something else? Yes.
Maharaj, sometimes it seems like the teachings are same, but the standards...
There's a what?
Teaching is same.
Like teaching is same.
Teachings like the...
But emphasis is different.
But the standards among the devotees are different. Like,
standards are different.
Yeah.
Teaching same, standards different. You mean like within ISKCON today, teaching same, standards different? Or you mean one temple and another temple, or one teacher and another teacher, or what do you mean?
In ISKCON.
In a core of ISKCON.
We have teachings from Prabhupada, like his books are there.
Okay.
But when we go situation to situation, or one temple to another temple, there are different standards.
Can you give an example? I mean, I noticed. No, just. You know, here, both Gaur Nitai have peacock feather, for an example. And some places you see where only Lord Chaitanya has a peacock feather. Some places, Lord Chaitanya doesn't have a peacock feather. Is that something like what you're speaking
Not
about?
Not like regarding the deities, like regarding the devotees, like eating outside is one side, like we say sometimes okay, and sometimes we say...
Oh. Well, then the point of reference is what? The point of reference is Prabhupada's books. And secondary to his books, his conversations and other ways of lectures and other ways of teaching. It's right in his books about that one. Eating outside. And some people saying, that's okay.
Kind of goes on in the society is very variegated.
Yeah. But even during Prabhupada's time, that was the case. The teachings are the teachings. And then the following of the teachings may differ, even during Prabhupada's time. It's not just, next generation. Therefore, responsible followers should be very conversant in what the teachings are and adhere to the teachings so that the standard is preserved rather than diversified. And those who are leaders, it's their responsibility to see that not only they know what the standards are, but the standards are enforced. And if somebody wants to do something else, they can do something else. So then, this comes into a discussion, a whole other discussion about who's a member of ISKCON. We're having such a discussion. And does it mean a member of ISKCON is somebody who says, I'm a member of ISKCON? Or, I'm a Prabhupada Anuga? Without getting into details. And that's a member of ISKCON. Or, what does it mean? that they're, you know, they know what the teachings are, and they strictly follow the teachings. And then this one says, "I know what the teachings are. It's this." Another one says, "I know what the teachings are. It's that." Then it comes back to what Dravida said. So, what is our authority here? Prabhupada gave an authority structure, and that authority structure is that's the deciding factor. That's the investment of authority that Prabhupada gave is the GBC. Fallible or infallible, like it or not, that's the authority investing that Prabhupada gave. That's the structure that we have. That's what a Prabhupada follower is, has that component. And so if there's some concern about is this the right understanding or that's the right understanding, is this the right standard, there's a Supreme Court. There's a final deciding place that has... If it's going to continue, it's going to continue that way by Prabhupada's investing authority. That's the descending process. Boy, this is a very interesting discussion this morning, from prayers to the previous acharyas. Very interesting discussion. Anything from the ladies' side? Yes.
Jarupa Swami, I know you didn't want to go right back to Jai Jagannath's original question, but it somehow stayed connected on the topic in some way.
Okay.
I was thinking very deeply about Jai Jagannath's question, and in line with the thought that you expressed about, you know, always being respectful to one's own spiritual master. At least I know for myself that through studying one's own spiritual master's teachings and the particular mood that's been expressed through those teachings, that actually makes it more accessible, the teachings of Srila Prabhupada or any other Charivaris. And then it's from that accessible teachings of Srila Prabhupada suddenly makes every other teaching more easily connected. But it definitely begins, at least this I've understood from having to do classes and, you know, really look at material and understand concepts, that it really does start with that respectful approach to one's own spiritual master's teachings, and really imbibing the mood allows for the further accessibility.
I'll reply by saying, by adding, I remember very clearly, I think it was one Vyasa Puja homage that you wrote. You said that one of the outstanding features that you find is whenever your spiritual master is asked a question, it's always in reference to something from Scripture, and something from Scripture and Prabhupada said, and a verse from the Scripture. So that's the fidelity. So accessibility and transparency, which is the word that Dravida was referring to, Prabhupada's word, transparency. And then that's sufficient. Then more than sufficient, as you're saying. Then I have access to these other, that if I just read the other, I may not have so much clarity. And with access, then I can ask for clarification. But that's part of the response. That's part of the supporting of faith, is the persons who speak with reference to previous authority. It's throughout the Scripture. It's really, really nice. Even Shukadeva Goswami does it. He's asked a question and he gives an answer based upon something that he heard from a previous authority. And he's an authority. He's one of the 12 Mahajans. But that's what authorities do. They refer to previous authorities. That's transparency. That's the qualification. Okay, the 9 o'clock bell is ringing and we're going to end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mm-hmm.